Latton's Black Hawk had brought him to Lalonde in 2575. At that time, there were less than 100 people on the planet, a caretaker squad looking after the landing site camp. The ecological assessment team had completed their analysis and left. The Confederation inspection team wasn't due for another year. He had obtained a classified copy of the company report. The planet was habitable. It would gain the Confederation's certification. There would be colonists eventually, dirt poor, ignorant, without any advanced technology. Given his own particular designs on the future, it would be a perfect culture to infiltrate. They had landed in the mountains on Amarisk's eastern side, 20 humans and 7 land cruisers loaded with enough luxuries to make exile bearable, along with more essential stocks, small cybernetic manufacturing systems and his genetics equipment. He also had the Black Hawk's 9 eggs removed from its ovaries and stored in Zero Tau. The Black Hawk was sent to oblivion in the fierce blue-white star, and the little convoy started to batter its way through the jungle. It took them 2 days to reach the tributary river, which would one day be called the Qualheim. 3 days sailing, the land cruisers had amphibious fuselages, brought them to Schuster County, a territory where the soil was deep enough to support the Giganteas. Jungle again, and half a day later he found what must surely be the largest Gigantea specimen on the continent. "This will do," he told his fellowship. "In fact, I think it is rather appropriate." The branches were still shedding their weight of water from the earlier rain when Clive Jensen led Quinn Dexter onto the slippery coils of the Gigantea's roots. There was a perpetual twilight under the huge shaggy boughs. Water pattered down, forming runnels that gurgled and sucked their way around the intestinal tangle below his feet. Quinn resisted the impulse to hunch his shoulders against the big drops splashing on his head. Spores or sap, something organic, had curdled with the water, making it tacky. It was cool in the shade, the coolest he'd ever been on Lalonde. They neared the colossal bowl. The roots began to curve up to the vertical wooden waves, crashing against a wooden cliff. Between the thick cords were dark and fractious clefts, 5 times his height, tapering away to knife-thin fissures. Clive Jensen stepped into one. Quinn watched him disappear round a curve, then shrugged and followed him in. After 5 meters, the floor became level and the walls widened out to a couple of meters, the coarse mat of fibre which passed for the Gigantea's bark giving way to smooth, bare wood. Carved, he realized. God's brother, he'd cut his home into the tree. How much effort had gone into this? There was a glimmer of light up ahead. He walked round an S-bend and into a brightly lit room. It was 15 meters long, 10 wide, perfectly ordinary, except for the lack of windows. Pegs on one wall held a row of dark green cagoules. Gigantea wood was a pale walnut colour, with a widely spaced grain, making it look as though the walls were built from exceptionally broad planks. There was a desk like a long bar running down one side that had been carved from a single block. A woman stood at the far end of it, watching him impassively. Quinn broke into a slow grin. She looked about 25, taller than him, with black skin and long chestnut hair, a petite button nose. Her sleeveless amber blouse and white culottes showed off a full figure. A flicker of distaste crossed her face. "Don't be disgusting, Dexter." "What? I never said a word." "You didn't have to. I'd sooner screw a servitor house chimp." "Do I get to watch?" Her expression intensified. "Stand still, don't move, or I'll have Clive dissect you." She picked a sensor wand off the desk. Still grinning, Quinn lifted his arms out and let her run the wand around him. Clive stood to attention a couple of meters away, perfectly still, as if he was a mechanoid construct that had been switched off. Quinn tried not to let it show how much that bothered him. "So, how long have you been here?" he asked.
"Long enough."
"What do I call you?"
"Camilla."
"Okay, Camilla, that's cool. So what's the story here?"
"I'll let Latin tell you." Her tongue was pushed into her cheek. "That's if he doesn't just decide to incorporate you like Clive here."